Hello everybody and welcome back inside the Shark Tank. My name is Lewis and I'm delighted to be coming to you off the back of a pretty comprehensive win for Sale over the weekend, 30-6 over Northampton at the AJ Bell. Joining me to discuss that game and just generally revel in a season that's now looking upwards is my co-host Alex. Alex, how are you?
I'm very good, mate. Very positive off the back of a good win under Saturday Night Lights at the AJ Bell. Really good performance, some really good individual performances. And yeah, delighted that hopefully we have turned the corner and a pretty impactful way to do it as well, I think. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Just as a sort of random aside, 5 o'clock games on a Saturday. What are your thoughts?
I actually quite liked it. It sort of it meant that you had the most of the day to kind of, you know, do what you wanted, and then I got a tram for the first time, so that was nice and easy. Had to time my well, we arrived at 3 o'clock to watch the England game beforehand at the ground, so that was really good. And yeah, nice and easy, even with the Manchester derby on. I just timed that in, but it was fine. I was worried that all the United fans were going to leave early and skip my best laid plans, but fair play, they stayed in the ground for a bit. And actually, it was a really good, especially in winter, because it's dark. It does almost have that sort of Friday night atmosphere, but on a Saturday. And obviously, you know, then I think the atmosphere afterwards was quite nice, and, you know, people have people can stay around for a drink if they want, or, you know, head off. I think it's a really good kickoff time. Quite liked it. A little bit different, but definitely winter gives the ground a good atmosphere, and that was added to with kind of all the pyrotechnics and stuff and that kind of thing. It felt like a really buzzy atmosphere for, you know, compared to say a Saturday 3 o'clock, where it almost feels not standard, but it's not, it's the same in the day, is it? I don't know, there seems to be a bit more of a buzz in the evening. So no, as an option, I really, really like it. But I do, that's, you know, it's fine on a day where everything's going fine. But, you know, if we'd lost, maybe my opinion would be different. Maybe I just had a really good time because I spent 2 hours before the game with a few Guinness watching England win and then went and watched Sale won. So maybe through blue and white rose tinted glasses. But hey,
I think you're right in that because it was a winter evening and it was basically dark at kickoff with the pyrotechnics and all the rest of it. It did feel like a really sort of enclosed stadium, and that, you know, the capacity was okay, not great, but it did kind of give it a little bit of an added sense of kind of innateness, which I did quite like. And I must admit, I am a fan of the Saturday evening kickoff. I know Sale, I've talked a little bit about, you know, trying to find that right time and trying to do things a little bit differently. And actually, I think off the back of what we saw on Saturday, Saturday evening kickoff might not be a bad shout. But it seemed to work for the players anyway, because obviously Sale, albeit an under-strength Sale, beat a Northampton team well above them in the table, albeit an under-strength Northampton team, quite handedly. And I guess, Alex, to kind of kick things off, 30-6, three tries to none. Sale were in the lead for basically 70 minutes. I mean, what was the biggest positive for you from that performance on Saturday evening?
I think it was just the comprehensive nature of it. And we talked about for a while that Sale never, you know, there's no easy games. And I think we've always done that kind of, especially in the Dimes era, we used to do that. Oh, you know, we always make hard work of it, don't we? And we, because it's true. And with this one, I never really felt too worried. You know, it was, we started well, we went 3-0 down, but Northampton never really looked like scoring a try, and it was never a heart in mouth moment. There was never a sustained pressure, so I think that was a massive part of it. And I think there were a few things that played into that. Our defence was very good. We had a massive jackal threat, and I think Ben Curry's jackaling is one of the highlights that we should be pointing out later on. And when we were in attack, we were relatively clinical. You know, it would have been nice to get a bonus point, and I think we probably won't rue it, because you know you're and if Jones was here, he'd be saying, listen, rugby's a momentum sport, take the win, go again next week. And it's nice to go into this break from the Premiership with a win. So I think, yeah, that's just the fact that it was so easy to watch and felt calm and, you know, not stressed about a sale result is a really good step for us. Because, you know, I think back to that Northampton game when we beat them like 18-16 at the AJ Bell, and I said we were going to get relegated if we kept playing like it, because we were, because James Grayson couldn't kick, which is still appears to be the case. And that was, you know, we needed a win then. We just needed to turn the tide, and we did it. But we did it in a really stressful, really tight way. With this one, completely different. We needed a win. We needed to turn the tide, and we did it, and we did it emphatically. So that's the massive positive for me. And I think it's, you know, I don't think you could have asked for anything more from the squad in terms of a response. So, yeah, it's... it's just better for all our hearts, isn't it? We all might live to see a season longer if we can have a few more games like that in the season.
It felt very much like the games last season where we really just sort of strangled the opposition. And, you know, I think it is, you know, it is worth pointing out that Northampton were without, you know, some England internationals, some Welsh internationals, etc. And obviously Sale were as well. But it did sort of feel like this was for maybe the first time this season, a real sort of return to form from the Sale team, where the forward pack fronts up and has sort of game line momentum throughout the game. You know, the scrum was a bit weak, but we'll chat about that. But you know, there was a platform being laid on for the backs. We, you know, we had AJ back at 10, and he was pulling the strings. And again, we'll talk about that in a bit. You know, our outside players were getting a lot of the ball and were able to sort of attack with momentum. And it really felt like we had all these things going for us. And then in defence, you know, we just kind of shut Northampton down. They had a fair amount of possession, didn't really do anything with it. We sort of controlled territory as a result. We forced them into a lot of kicking possession away. And it felt like even at the times when Northampton were starting to get a bit of a head of steam up, you know, towards the end of that first half, for example, we were able to just repel them back. And a big part of that was the forward pack and getting Aka van der Merwe back. We had both the Duprees playing, and that made a big difference. And then that control that we got from 9 and 10, it must be said, meant that we were able to use that forward dominance to kick penalties, control territory, score two tries from in close, one from a maul, one from a pick and go. It just really felt like it was sort of sailed back at their 2020, 2021 best. And we're deserving winners on the night. So let's do some three-word reviews. It's not surprising that some of the themes I've mentioned already are going to come up. Jason Williams, Captain America back. Scott Cunnington, saved our season. This is from O'Reilly. AJ, total control. Taylor Ross, twins mean wins. Richard Lilly, AJ missing link. Peter Taylor, better with McGinty. Simon Holman, return of the Mac. I think that was the most popular one this week. And he's put an apostrophe instead of an F, so it does count as a three-word review. Alex, not surprising. A lot of plaudits in there for AJ McGinty. And as I've kind of mentioned, it really felt like that having him back at 10 really gave us a lot of control. But what sort of stood out from AJ's performance, you know, for you on Saturday? You know, he's obviously man of the match. Was it his 15 points? Was it his try assist for Marlon Yard? Kind of what grabbed you? And was he the only reason why we had such a comfortable win over Northampton?
I don't think he was the only reason, but I think he was a massive part of it. And you can tell the kind of level of control he brings. And that's not any slight on any of our other fly-halves, but he is just so good and fits into our system so well now. There's so much pleasing about it, isn't there? I mean, the 100% kick success rate is massive. I think that made it a much more comfortable game than, you know, it would have been otherwise. 6 kicks out of 6. You know, by no means any of them massive gimmies, you know, and he was striking it so well. So that's a huge part of it.
Two of them looked like they shouldn't have actually been awarded. I was in the south stand, and a couple of them looked pretty dubious from where we were behind the post, but you know, they all count.
I was in the West Ham, mate. They look fine. There was one where he just killed it in beautifully. It was, it was like, you know, just saw it going and I was thinking, he's judged the wind perfectly here and it just tailed in. It was great. So, yeah, that was massive. I think, and the other point that AJ brings is he is now really, really good at, and you mentioned the try assist, which sort of flagged to me that he makes the right decision at the right time and it leads to tries for us directly. And the amount of, you know, when we used to talk about AJ, we used to say, yeah, his attacking play doesn't light us up and Rob Dupree is actually the guy we need to kind of light up our backs. AJ is so, it's massively improved in his game, I think, in the last couple of years. But he's so, he just makes the right decision. He sees the space and it's the sort of thing, you know, when we're 5 metres out, so often we'll just go with the forwards and someone will drop it, someone will make a mistake. We're not very clinical from really short range. And I think what AJ brings to us is that clinical edge, because it's the, you know, take the ball, look over, Marlon Yard's free on the left wing, how do I get it to him? And we had a penalty advantage, so if it had gone wrong, it would have been fine. And I think the crucial difference is that if that's Rob Dupree, then maybe it doesn't go quite right and we don't score the try and we take the penalty and it's 3 points. With AJ, it's pinpoint. Marlon Yard dots it down, it's 7 points. So it is a big swing, and I think that's what really has impressed me about his game. And that's a very specific example, but I think, you know, the way he plays means that we are taking our opportunities much more often when he is on the field. And that is the point, isn't it? You know, when he wasn't playing for us, we looked good, but we didn't score enough points to win games. That's the difference with AJ. He kicks his goals so that we win the game, but he also puts us into good attacking situations and then finishes those situations to be able, enable us to win games and score try bonus points. So I think, you know, he was absolutely outstanding. And if we can keep him fit, we are a top four team. That is the difference, isn't it? And without him in, maybe we're, you know, with the strength of the league this season, it's top six. But if he is fit, he is a massive difference maker.
I can't say more than that. I think it's a very fair summary of how important AJ is to this team. It's difficult for them this game because, you know, Sale sort of lead basically from start to finish, you know, very much in control throughout. AJ is a massive part of that. But, I mean, who else stood out for you on Saturday, Alex, in terms of, you know, in terms of individual performances? Because obviously it was a very good team performance.
Yeah, massively. I think I mentioned it before, Ben Curry, I thought had an absolutely superb game. And again, points to how on earth is he not in the England setup? But aren't we glad he, you know, in from a purely selfish point of view, I mean, I want him to be in the England setup. And I think it's baffling that he's not been involved today. But we are so lucky to have him because he's just so, so good. And his jackal threat is something that no one else in our team really brings, apart from Aka van der Merwe, who is another one I want to point out. And I think that was, those two made a massive difference. Having Ben Curry and having Aka in. We've always said about Aka that, and I think it's probably gone unnoticed a bit, but he is such a good player this season and the end of last season because his line-out throwing has improved and the rest of his game is fantastic. So when his line-out throwing is going well, and we were 100% on line-outs on Saturday, when his line-out throwing is going well, he's just, you know, well, I genuinely think he's close to world-class. And that probably might be an exaggeration. But I think, you know, what he brings, he does things that no other hooker can do because of his pace, because of his ability over the ball. You know, it's like having, you've got a hooker, but you've also got a kind of a back rower, and you've almost got a back as well, haven't you? Because he's pacey and he beats defenders with ease quite a lot of the time. So, yeah, I think it was massive having him back and Ben Curry as well were two that I would point out. But I think there were other good, I don't want to nick them all off you. So was there anyone else you wanted to point out?
One player who I think we probably maligned a little bit, who I thought had a really solid game, was Simon Hammersley at 15. You know, as people, you know, we watched on home or in the ground could see, you know, very tough conditions. You know, swirling wind, swirling rain when that came down as well. And I thought one of the things Sale did really well was they managed territory extremely well, and a big part of that is being able to take your kicks under the high ball, look after the ball, etc. And obviously Hammersley, And McGuigan in yard as well played a big part of that. It really wasn't an avenue Northampton could exploit, you know. And when you're a team under a bit of forwards pressure, being able to loft box kicks up and challenge in the air does make a big difference. And every time Northampton did that, we were pretty solid as part of that. And a big part of that is Hammerslini's positioning. So I thought he had a really good game. And I think, you know, having the Dupree twins in the starting 15 makes such a big difference, especially when you can get them both playing at the same time. We've not had that luxury this year. I think this is the first time they've both started a game together. And it just means having that physicality, both in the second row and in the back row, the ball playing ability, the ability to get your arms free, even if they're not able to get offloads off. It just forces the covering defenders to have to cover a potential offload rather than being able to go straight into a breakdown and trying to win the ball back. And it's just little things throughout the game which make a big difference, and the cumulative effect is a win by 24 points. So for very different reasons, Simon Hammersley and the Dupree twins kind of caught my eye as other players in addition to AJ.
Yeah, and two of the people, and we always end up doing this when we play well, we basically go through the whole team, so we're right. But I thought Gus Wall had a really good game at scrum half, and I think a massive amount of credit to him, because I don't think he had a great game last week against Worcester, and I think he massively improved. And you know, it almost shows that as much that Worcester loss was painful, it is going to be beneficial for these kind of players, for the players who haven't got that much Premiership experience. So I thought that was really, really good. And John O'Ross had his best game in the Sailorship for a long time for me. Probably mostly because he didn't get sent off. But I just think the way he was carrying, he looked really dynamic and really... Sometimes I think with Jono, he's almost guilty of... He carries really hard, but because there's no footwork before contact, it's quite easy to read him. And if you've got a big bloke who can tackle, he will just, you know, hit Jono. And he always relies on that, you know, running at a gap. But I actually think he looked a lot more dynamic. And he was, you know, kind of out on the wing a lot of the time and operating in those wide channels that we see other players doing, like the Dupreeers. So I thought it was superb, and his discipline was really good. So that was probably another highlight for me, because if we can get Jono back to, you know, I think he's been a little bit off the boil recently, partly the discipline problem has really held him back, because it's almost you can't afford to lose him for 10 minutes every game. I think if he plays like that and his discipline stays well, then it really brings, with him and Ben Curry or Tom Curry, whoever's starting, and Dan Dupree, it is such a good balance to our back row, isn't it? It's exactly what you want from a back row. So it's brilliant to have them all. I think that's the point. We kind of had three back row players bringing that perfect balance all on form. And we haven't really had that this season. Yes, we might have had three form players, but it was like Cam Neill, Sam Dugdale, John O'Ross, who were all very good, but all very similar. So to have that balance and that kind of breadth of skill set, and to have them all performing at a really high level, is a massive, massive sort of positive for the team and for the squad in the season.
Absolutely. It feels like we've gone through the entire team now. So is there anything else you want to pick out from this Northampton game? It doesn't feel like there's necessarily too much else to discuss.
No, great to see Joe Jones back. Was always a fan, was a bit gutted that he went. Hopefully that's permanent, because I really like him. And he looked good off the bench. And I think he got mentioned in a couple of three-word reviews, but excellent that Nye Thomas is coming on and being a chippy little scrum off from the word go. he looked, and people who saw this on TV, and you may know better, but he looked tiny. So to see him just going after the Saints pack is superb. So yeah, and you know, hopefully we see a bit more of him over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good pull, actually, that 2 minutes off the bench for Nye Thomas for his Premiership debut. He's been on the bench for the last couple of weeks, but obviously Gus Ward's been playing the full 80. So it's good to see Sanderson give him a little bit of a run out. Cool. Okay. So with that all being said, I think we can start to take a look at next week. And obviously things are a little bit different, because the Premiership rugby action is coming to a temporary pause, and it's the return of the Premiership Rugby Cup for the 21-22 season. Alex, am I right in thinking we are still the reigning champions of the Premiership Rugby Cup?
I think you might be, yeah. It shows how much Chevron pays to it that hasn't been mentioned. But yes, I think we are. So, you know, the expectations for this season, I suppose.
Well, so this is the way we're going to come out of the Premiership Rugby Cup, because obviously Sale travelled down to Welford Road to take on Leicester Tigers in the first round of this year's tournament. And obviously it's very difficult to talk about the Premiership Rugby Cup in a lot of senses, because you have to be a James-level academy sort of savant and to understand kind of who...
The word "nose" is also used, but yes, seven is a bit nice.
And you have to really know your academy prospects to recognise some of the names on this team sheet. You know, let's be honest. So, rather than sort of, you know, guessing who might be playing for Leicester, what we want to kind of talk about very broadly is the Premiership Rugby Cup as a whole this year, and kind of what we can expect from Sale, and kind of what we hope to see. So, obviously, Alex, you know, there's the first game against Leicester this weekend, and it followed up with a game against Newcastle the following week. Sale sit as part of Pool 2 along with those two teams and Wasps. But I guess the question that I wanted to ask you first and foremost is, you know, we know as much as we celebrated that Premiership Rugby Cup win a couple of years ago, this is very much a secondary or tertiary competition in the course of a season. So, you know, what are you looking for Sale to get out of this tournament? You know, is it just blooding academy prospects, or do you want to see us use this competition as a bit of a jumping off point, you know, to build a bit of momentum, given where we are so far this season, which I think it's probably fair to say is slightly below expectations in the main league?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I think if you look at where we are, kind of points on points last season, in terms of the same games played, we're quite far down. You know, we've turned home wins into losses and away wins into losses. So we're definitely down on last season. And I think a big part of it is momentum and keeping that going. You know, away at Welford Road, tough place to go. We've got Newcastle at home on the Friday, which will probably be a slightly easier proposition, but not an easy one, because it's the Dean Richards side and they'll be fired up. I think they're doing very good things as well. They obviously beat Exeter this weekend. So I do think there's an element of we as a club need wins, and that can only be helped by us getting them in this competition. And then, you know, we're going into an away game at Surrey. So, you know, we don't want to be going into that cold. And I think you want your best players fit for that. But then as part of that, you also want them to be well rested and fresh. And the good thing is we've got, you know, we're playing Friday night and then Sunday afternoon at Surrey. So we've got a nice big rest period. So I think we can afford to keep some players who maybe we want to test the combinations of. And I think that's the point I'm going to come on to, is that the combinations is the key for me. You know, we've got Gus Moore and AJ McGinty. That is probably going to be the combination for the foreseeable, with Rafi with England, with Faf out for a long time. So I think having them two play together, or having Gus Moore play with Rob Dupria, is pretty crucial. Obviously, we'd all love to see Nye Thomas, but I think him coming off the bench works pretty well for now. Because I do think, you know, getting people playing together is always really, really good for the momentum of the squad. Obviously, there are people who we want to see and want to see come through, and I think it's an opportunity for kind of Sanderson to bed in that rotation methodology that he wants to use, but in a bit of a safer environment. So, you know, you want to talk about people like Matt Postlethwaite, Ruben Birch coming into the second row. Talk about how do we make the most of all our hookers, because we've got loads and, you know, they're all very, very good. So how do we keep them all happy? We've not seen people like James Harper this season. I think there's a big opportunity for someone like Aaron Reid in the back, so almost go into that game as an experienced pro now, from where he was 2 years ago. We haven't seen that much for him this season either. Similarly, Tom Roebuck, I think it's time for us to see him. It's a bit of a strange one, because we almost, you know, we were struggling with the fly half for so long that we forced Kieran Wilkinson and Tom Curtis into that position. And you want them to play in this kind of competition, but then you also want to, as I said about that combination with AJ, but then you also want to wrap AJ in cotton wool. So it's a really difficult kind of, there's so many sides to that. And I think you almost have to just pick your strategy and stick with it. So personally, I'd be playing Kieran Wilkinson against Leicester and then AJ against Newcastle. But I can totally understand that you could sort of cut that any way you wanted, couldn't you? So, and then in the backs, we don't actually have that much choice in the backs at the moment. But I would like to see Luke James get more game time because I think he's he needs to build up his form again because he's looked really good when he's played, but he just hasn't had that much game time this season. And I mentioned obviously the wingers. Someone I would really like to see who was playing at Sale FC the other week was Joe Carpenter at fullback. I think it's a real opportunity for him to come into the squad because, you know, Simon Hammersley is pretty much playing every game now, isn't he? So he is definitely due a rest. And as we said, he played really well this weekend. So I would like to see Joe Carpenter come in. And then, you know, the bench is a massive opportunity as well to get people on the bench who then, you know, if you're on the bench, you've got a chance to play in 78 minutes, haven't you? So it's always good to have people with less experience in and around those benches. So that'd be it for me. I don't know, what are your thoughts? It's a really difficult one, isn't it? And I think there's some places where it's quite obvious that, you know, you just either pick a, you know, give it to an academy kid and kind of let them have the experience, or you keep that momentum. And there's some places like Fyarth where it is really difficult.
I think that's fair because in some positions we are already down to, say, our second or third choice. And this is a really obvious opportunity to get, you know, your academy players or your Jets or your fourth and fifth options playing, you know, especially in things like, you know, like the front row. I think you could probably see someone like Cal Ford get a run out if he's fit and available. Ben Cartwell, not seeing much of him. Even someone like Tommy Onasanya, you know, the players who are playing, you know, in the academy. Again, this is the step up, really, for playing first team football, first team rugby, because you know all the other teams in the competition are going to be doing something similar as well. You know, so I think in some positions, you know, it makes sense. Just rest, rotate, get everyone back to full fitness. But like you said, you know, in some of these positions, we're actually quite blessed with a lot of different talent. Fly half's a really interesting one. Do you go Kieran Wilkinson or do you go Tom Curtis? Tom Curtis, although he's had some minutes in the Premiership this year, has only been playing, you know, 5 minutes, 6 minutes at the end of the game. He's been just left with the match-winning kicks more often than not, and has had nothing else to do. So maybe you use this as a chance to give Wilkinson a bit of a rest, and make sure he's fit and healthy if anything happens to AJ or Rob Dupria. And you give Tom Curtis the starting 10 jersey and see what he can do. You know, so I think it is interesting. I think part of it is going to have to just be, you know, who's fit and available in some of the positions. And then some of it is going to be, you know, genuine opportunities for players to stake a claim in the first team. I'm not expecting Cal Ford or Ethan Kane, you know, to really make a push for starting duty or anything like that. But you look at someone like Aaron Reed, like you said, Tom Roebuck, not seen much of them this year. You know, a couple of good games in this tournament can help their case to getting more first team minutes, especially with some players like Reed and Roebuck, where they've had a couple of years in and around the first team now. You would expect them to come into this competition and dominate against, you know, other academy players. So, you know, it's going to be a really interesting litmus test, you know, for some of those players and how they're pushing on. But I agree, Joe Carpenter is probably the one I'm most excited to see get a run out. He's obviously he's an out and out 15. He's played that at age grade for England and obviously previously at Yorkshire. 15 is a position we are very, very light on, as we know, and it's interesting, a bit like what we saw with Rafi Quirk and countless others over the last couple of years. Sometimes you just need to see a player get a chance in the first team and they can really take it and run with it. Carpenter, for me, of all the players, including the first team ones who are on the periphery of that first team, is the player where I think in 6 months' time he could be in that Quirk-like situation where he's playing first team minutes because we don't really have any depth or any sort of true game changers at that position. So he's someone I'm really excited to see. Conor Doherty, in a similar vein in the centres. You know, again, someone we've not really seen much of this year as well. And obviously, Ruben Birch has been brought back. He's been, you know, another option, a lock. And it'll be exciting to see what some of these players can do with 60, 65 minutes on the legs rather than just, you know, 5 or 10 at the end of the game. So I think that's probably covered off most of the academy as well. Do you want to do a prediction for the Leicester game?
I mean, yeah, let me just... Let me just throw some numbers up in the air and see where they all land. Yeah, 33-26 to Leicester.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, maybe. Who knows? It'd be interesting to see who they roll out. I mean, if poor Aaron Reed's having to play against Nemanja Nadolo, you know, it could be a cricket score.
Yeah, that is. Surely George Ford needs a rest. But I don't think they've got many tens after George Ford, have they? So.
Well, actually, there was one, before we sign off, there was one player I did want to pull out from the Leicester team to keep an eye on, and that's Dan Lancaster, obviously son of former England coach Stuart, another Yorkshire Academy product who joined Leicester, I think it was this summer, and he's just one player to keep an eye out for. Obviously, again, played age grade rugby for England. You assume George Ford isn't going to be playing in the Prem Rugby Cup. And Freddie Burns is unlikely to either, so it's likely he'll get a run out over the weekend, and it's just a very exciting prospect to watch as well. So I think that's the pod for this week. Thank you to everyone who's been listening. Thank you to everyone who sent in your 3-word reviews. And thank you to everyone who supports the podcast either via the main show or the Patreon. Speaking of the Patreon, me and Alex are about to jump on there now to record a bonus episode, the second part of our Autumn International series, where we run the roost over the weekend's games and certain Sale Academy hookers who are scoring tries on their debut. So if you're a Ewan Ashman head, you want to be listening to this pod. And I think that's about it. Alex, anything from you before we sign off?
No, nothing else from me. Yeah, get over to the Patreon and listen to the Autumn Internationals so that I can wax lyrical off the back of my tweet that got 66 likes.
Oh, thanks, everybody.
It's good when we get a good tweet going, isn't it? It's usually it's when we've done something controversial, like Dime saying something to annoy someone. So it's nice that it's off the back of some success.
Exactly. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you on the Patreon. Have a good rest of your week.